always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
All right, so over the weekend, we also got the Oklahoma City Thunder matched up against the San Antonio Spurs. You have the Detroit Pistons, you know, pissed down their leg in Game 7 at home. So now you have the Cleveland Cavaliers going up against the New York Knicks, who are, you know, and you'll have the Knicks and the Thunder incredibly well rested for their matchups here. Thunder Spurs gets underway tonight. Can't wait for that game. And I was kind of thinking about, like, you know, what lessons to take from the teams that got at least this far. And you kind of look at it and you say, well, the two of the teams here, right, in the Thunder and the Cavs made acquisitions there at the deadline, right? The Thunder picked up McCain. And the Cavs swapped Darius Garland out for James Harden. And I, you know, that would make me believe in even further that, like, you know, those teams that are willing to continue to address their roster over the course of the season do put themselves in a good spot there. You have a team in New York who, while they might not have made an acquisition there at the deadline, and despite, you know, advancing as far as they had the year prior, the Knicks didn't sit on their hands. They swapped out a coach in Tom Thibodeau for Mike Brown. And they, over the course of the season, also acknowledged that they can't play quite so much Jalen Brunson ball and kind of leaned into some creation at the high post or through Karl Anthony Towns. And I think that gave themselves another dimension to their offense that they could use as a counterpunch. And so, like, strategically, I really like that the New York Knicks, you know, kind of made themselves less one dimensional over the course of the season. And I think that put themselves into a good spot here. And then, you know, with the San Antonio Spurs, you have a team that's, you know, young. And they are going as their young superstar in Victor Wembanyama goes. And they chose not to, you know, do much with their roster at the deadline. But they did, you know, in the year prior, bring in De'Aaron Fox to maybe, you know, hasten that team's development. And they stuck with Mitch Johnson as their head coach, but they also still have Greg Popovich kind of apparently helping with game plans here in the postseason. So you kind of have the best of both worlds, where you have this young up and coming coach who maybe thinks of the game slightly, you know, in a little more futuristic way. But then you also have somebody like Greg Popovich and his insane amount of experience. And because because you promoted a candidate from within your organization, that candidate or that new coach, Mitch Johnson, it can work that much better with Greg Popovich, and you can, you know, kind of reap those rewards of Pop's experience too. So kind of interesting dynamic there. I guess, like, my overall kind of takeaway here is, Those teams that are still alive right now in these playoffs, they have committed to an identity. They have, you know, supplemented that identity. The way that they go about, like, you know, winning and sacrificing and all of that stuff, like, that is, those are widely held beliefs throughout the organization. And every single player, basically, and every coach and every executive within those walls of the Thunder, of the Knicks, of the Thunder and the Spurs and the Cavs or whatever, like all of those voices and all of those people, you know, are all rowing very much in the exact same direction. And that doesn't mean that there aren't, you know, conversations that at times might ruffle feathers, or that doesn't mean that everybody is just kumbaya at all times. But I do think it does lead to when I look at those teams that are still playing, you know, at this stage of the season, I look at cultures that you know, I wish could be extended here to the Lakers. So it's going to be interesting to see how these things play out. My predictions: I have the Thunder winning their series in six, and then I have the Knicks beating the Cavs in six as well. And then, you know, and it's I think the Thunder are incredibly well rested. They get J-Dub back for their series here against the Spurs. They've been here before. That experience is really going to help them. That front line is as equipped to deal with Victor Wembanyama as any in the sport. Now, that said, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the San Antonio Spurs upset the Thunder. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if the San Antonio team that at one point beat the Thunder like three straight times this season, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we looked up and they were representing the West in the NBA Finals. And for Cavs, Knicks, like, I think that the Knicks' depth at the wing spots defensively is going to provide issues for the Cavs defensively, right? So you have, you know, you have Mikal Bridges, you have Josh Hart, you have OG Anunoby, and you have they also picked up Jose Alvarado in the you know, at the deadline as well. And you know, his ability to defend Donovan Mitchell is going to be interesting to watch in that series. And then for Cleveland, you know, and actually, you know, really quickly, you know, kind of looking at like team building and stuff like that, the other thing too is like the Lakers have basically tried operating below the first apron, basically since the CBA moved into this apron world. And I do think that, like, you know, while the Cavs are heading towards a really tricky offseason, it's worth it now to them, right? They got to the conference finals. If they can advance to the finals, let alone if they could win a championship or whatever, operating at near or above the second apron when you are within your window, like that, yes, eventually that bill comes due, and yes, eventually they're going to have to make some tricky decisions. But that's the case for every team operating at every level of this CBA, no matter which cap it is that you try to work under. And so for the Cavs and for the Knicks, you know, and you know, they've basically just said, you know what, this is our window, we're going to go for it, we're going to keep adding to our roster, we're going to keep turning in chips, and we're going to keep pushing chips into the middle of the table. And they now advance into the conference finals. And both the Knicks and the Cavs have really good chances, I think, at advancing all the way to the actual NBA finals. And I, like, that's going to be something that, you know, while Luka is in his prime, I'm going to be paying a lot close attention to is all right, Lakers, this era of, you know, building towards optionality, that is something that, you know, led to some pretty mediocre teams. Now is the time to start cashing in chips. Now is the time to start, you know, seeing optionality as the tool that it is, not the goal that it had been. And I think here with what the Lakers are looking towards this summer, and then, you know, continuing to build towards after this summer, it is time to start, you know, maybe not looking at the first apron as your cap, but all, you know, being willing to go right up to that second apron eventually as you continue to add to your roster. No more like, no more letting the Maxi Klebas of the world expire for nothing. No more letting the Malik Beasleys and the Mo Bambas of the world expire for nothing. When you have an expiring contract, while you have a player of Luka Doncic's ilk, you know, those expiring contracts that you have and whatever draft capital that you have, it is now time to use that stuff to add to your roster after you see what kind of flexibility that having cap space gets you this year. That matchup between the Cavs and the Knicks is going to be a fascinating one. I have the Knicks just slightly ahead because I like the more physical team between the two of them. But that said, if you would ask me who would be the more physically daunting team between the Cavs and the Raptors or the Cavs and the Pistons, I would have said the other two teams, pretty well overwhelmingly. But the Cavs have done a pretty damn good job of being their own kind of physical, good counterpunch team, timely shooting with Sam Merrill, and Max Strus has been really good in this playoff run too. And then you have, James Harden, really kind of wet the bed in game 7, but you had Donovan Mitchell step up instead. So, and I think there have been moments where James Harden has been, quite good, and Donovan Mitchell, needed to be picked up. So, I like that Cleveland has a nice diverse attack that they can offer against the Knicks, but the Knicks also have a very diverse attack that they can present. The Cavs, it wouldn't surprise me to see that thing go 6 or 7, and whoever comes out of it, I think is going to lose to whatever team comes out of the West. But Cavs Knicks should be a really fun series. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into the comments that we've gotten over the course of the show. And then we have 3 questions here from the iTunes mailbag. First one comes from QBreezy12, who writes, anybody from the Thunder you want as realistic potential poach in the offseason? Hartenstein, Caruso, Kayson Wallace, anybody else? So I don't think Kayson Wallace is going anywhere. I think he's about to be a restricted free agent. So like, I hope somebody makes like a max offer that OKC would have to match. But, eventually whenever we arrive then, but I don't think Kayson Wallace is going anywhere. But as far as like the other guys there, this is kind of interesting. Hartenstein would be at the top of my list. If the Lakers could somehow, some way get Hartenstein and he becomes your anchor defensively and your lob threat and your pinch post fulcrum of the offense as well, like that would be ideal. The thing that I keep on running into though, in all of these, and then from there, like, Lou Dort also comes to mind, although I would have to delete so many Lou Dort tweets. And then from there, like Aaron Wiggins is kind of interesting. Isaiah Joe is somewhat interesting. Obviously Alex Caruso would be a really fun addition for a variety of reasons. But the thing that I keep on asking myself, and this is a question that's going to come up a bunch over the course of the summer before we finally get to the summer. But like, if I'm Sam Presti, or if I'm the Denver Nuggets, or if I'm like any of these teams, especially in the West, that are up against it cap-wise, yes, I make life easier on myself by sending players to the Lakers and opening up my books so that I can still afford to pay, other key figures on the team. But like, do I really want to help make the Lakers better? Like, is there any other pathway? And if there is any other pathway to that financial flexibility, does it make more sense to go and call up Brooklyn or call up any other team, Chicago? And I think Atlanta has a little bit of cap space this year. Does it make any sense whatsoever to, or if it makes any sense whatsoever to, you know, to make it work with another team that doesn't involve making the Lakers specifically better and a Luka Doncic Lakers team better. Like, wouldn't I just head down that path anyway, right? Like, part of the reason that Brooklyn keeps on getting to rent out their cap space is because nobody is really all that worried about Brooklyn ever turning that corner. Whereas, like, with the Lakers, I do think that, like, if you send one too many helpful players, now all of a sudden you have to now deal with the Lakers in the playoffs with some of your better players or some of your useful players that are now on their books that you just sent over there for very little just to open up your books. And I just, that doesn't seem like something that Sam Presti would want to do. I could maybe see Denver being desperate enough because their books are that brutal, but like, would that organization of all organizations want to make the, like, I saw that Aaron Gordon was a name that is on the Lakers list the other day, or I heard that. And it's like, the Denver Nuggets are going to send Mr. Nugget to the Lakers? I'm not even sure I'm interested in him because I don't know that he has one working hamstring on his body. But, like, they would choose to do that? Would they choose to send Cam Johnson to the Lakers? Would they choose to send, Christian Brown to the Lakers, you know, knowing that those guys would really help right away? I don't know. I sincerely don't know. And usually if I don't know something like that, then usually it's a response that I wouldn't be too thrilled about. So yeah, I would love to see the Lakers poach, not just players, by the way. I would love to see the Lakers poach front office personnel from the Thunder as well. But and development people from the Thunder. Good God, the bang for their buck that they get on all of their prospects. The Lakers need to poach some of their player development coaches. But yeah, like the any of those guys, I would be interested in. But I would start my search, or I would start, you know, with our Isaiah Hartenstein right up at the top of the guys that I really, really, really want to see on the Lakers next year. All right. So the next question that we have here from Ricky Spanish Jr. Appreciate your work and respect for your growth as a journalist. Thank you. There are people who are watching the show right now rolling their eyes at me being considered a journalist. And to those people, I would say, you're right. What do you think about a De'Aaron Fox for Austin Reeves sign and trade? Shooting downgrade, but major defensive and athleticism upgrade. Not in love with Fox's contract, but think I'd rather pay him that kind of money opposed to Reeves. Thoughts? Well, Fox's contract is brutal. So I don't think it's a very, like, I don't think that is an either or type of situation that I would be like thrilled about. The other thing too, like, as far as like the Fox Reeves thing, I think you're swapping out one set of issues for another set of issues. I don't think either team get much better that way. And I think the Lakers just get more expensive. So I wouldn't be all that interested. As far as Reeves in general, though, I think this needs to be said and repeated ad nauseum. I don't think Austin is going anywhere. The Lakers love him. He is one of the bigger organizational wins that Rob Pelinka has had. Austin really wants to be a Laker moving forward. And probably most importantly, Luka Doncic wants Austin to be a Laker with him for the foreseeable future. There was that report from, I believe, The Athletic that, you know, Luka had told the front office that he didn't want Austin traded for Giannis. I don't think he would want, like, I saw that there's that, you know, there's a conversation about, well, what if you do Reeves for Durin? or in this case, Reeves for Fox, or I've seen Reeves for Kessler, and I've seen Reeves for any number of players, right? And look, if Luka had gone to the, or has already gone to the front office and said, yeah, I don't want Austin traded for Giannis, I definitely don't think he's going to be like, oh, well, actually, De'Aaron Fox makes some sense, right? Like, if he didn't want Austin included in a Giannis trade, I don't think he like watched that series. Well, I don't think he watched that series, but I definitely don't think he watched Cavs Pistons and walked away from it being like, yeah, I know I didn't want Austin in the Giannis trade, but man, Durin though, after that series, that makes some sense. I just don't see that. Look, whether you agree or you disagree or whatever, Austin's teammates freaking love him. He's a fiery competitor. He's gotten better every single year that he has been in the league. He could have easily just sat out against the Thunder and maybe even like maintained a higher standing with, you know, the negotiations, right? He put that at risk by playing hurt because nobody seems to give players any kind of leeway when it comes to their performance dipping potentially because of injury or the return from injury. Instead, he fought scratch and clawed to be able to make himself available in that series. And I thought over the course of the series got better. So all of that is to say, no matter how you might feel about Austin Reeves, we know how the Lakers feel about him.
Bye, everyone.